It has been quite a week. One for the history books as far as weather is concerned. And it's been approached this week. It's been approached by people in different ways. They're training from the past, shown forth in those troubling times that we had with the weather and what we did without. Others who had no training in the past in kind of making a way for themselves, totally dependent upon what this life gives them, what our society gives them, what our community gives them, electricity, water, so forth. Some approach it as an opportunity. Some look at it as nothing more than a disaster. But this past week really has brought forth some lessons for us. I'll mention lessons in this sermon that are both physical, but especially as it applies to the spiritual. And lessons that can be learned by those that have not had training in either survival type skills or spiritual wellness skills. Lessons learned if you'll take them. And then for others who have both those survival skills, spiritual and physical, it's a reinforcement of really what we learned during this past week. Bear with me then for just a few moments in connection with this, this past week and what we glean, what we should have gleaned from this past week. First of all, we're not in control. And we understand that. We look at verses 15 through 17 of that reading that Stephen just gave for us there in Colossians, the first chapter, 15 through 17. And we see that it says that Jesus, and Jesus is the reference here, the context, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or endure or hold together. And when we look at that explanation that is given there, and we think about what took place, here man in his infinite wisdom that has been on the face of this earth some 6, 8, 10,000 years has come to a point where they built such an infrastructure to where we don't give a second thought when we enter into a room and it's a little bit dark and we flip a switch and we have the full expectation that light is going to come on, illumination is going to take place, we're not going to trip over anything, we're going to know exactly where we are, we're going to have that available to us 24/7, 365, and that it will never go off. And we get in that mindset that we, mankind, have created such the creature comforts and the stability in life that nothing can interrupt that. And we found out, we learned this lesson and reinforced this lesson that we're just not quite as powerful as what we think we are. We don't quite have it all together as maybe we thought that we did. That when we look at Colossians 1:15 through 17, which describes Jesus as the creator of all things, that all things were created through Him and for Him, we understand that our main focus should be on giving glory unto God, glory unto Christ Jesus, and not put trust in what man has afforded us here on this earth. And there are so many that live thinking that man just has provided all. And nothing can interrupt that. Whenever you look at the creation by Jesus Christ, He being God spoke this world into being. And I will suggest to you, where it says here in verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, endure, or hold together, that by the residue power of Him speaking this universe, this creation into existence, just the residue power of him doing that set forth in motion the natural elements of the world. And one of the side effects of that, because of sin entering into the world, is the power of Mother Nature, as it quite often is called. Well, it's actually Father Nature because it comes from God. And in just a moment, in just a very few short hours, our life was turned upside down. We did not have water to drink out of our tap, which is expected. We go over to the tap, we turn it on, and there's water. We didn't have the light switch comes on. We did not have warmth in our house from electricity. We didn't have those things. And that changed in a moment. And how we viewed that situation really should be going back to what was stated by God to Job in the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 14. I'll not read all of it because of time. But the Lord answered Job in his complaint concerning his situation. He says, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" Beginning there in verse 1. "He who rebukes God, let him answer." And then we come down and God says to Job out of the whirlwind in verse 7, "Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you. You shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his?" What he's saying is, there is, can you really control the situations that are there even on earth? Can you do that? Can you control your own condition and situation? And we know Job's situation, but really that is not to the extent that Job found himself, but we found ourselves in a helpless situation. Many of us did. Without those comforts that we've just come to expect. And if there's a lesson in that, we understand that just by the residue leftover power of God speaking this universe into being, that the universe can have control over us. God, if he wishes, certainly can have control over us, and we cannot control it. Everything that man put together for our comfort did not comfort us when we needed it the most this past week. It did not happen. We think about that, and what we learn from that is that we must be and must always remain humbled before God. We look in James 4, chapter verse 6 through 10. "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." And even in times like we just went through, when we realize that we're not in control, but we are humbled. We're humbled just at the forces that God put into place of nature and weather and so forth, that there is a God in heaven and that we can look to him in humility and that there still be comfort in dire situations. It's a lesson that we should have learned this past week. And let me just say, those lessons can be learned and appreciated by those that are Christians. They can be learned and appreciated by children of God that are in covenant relationship with God. But if you're not in covenant relationship with him, you once were a Christian. You were baptized in the remission of your sins. But you've not been serving God. You've not humbled yourself before God, but you should have been humbled in the situation that we just came out of. And let me say to those that have never become Christians, you've not humbled yourself. You can see exactly what can happen in just a very short, brief period of time, the helplessness that is out there. We should have learned the lesson of humility this past week. And if we didn't, I don't know what would get someone's attention, except it be to the point of death. But we have an opportunity to learn and to take that lesson and apply it to our lives, to either become a child of God or to return to the Lord or continue to humble ourselves daily as children of God. We also learn that we still survive on this earth in the sweat of our face. Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19. And then to Adam, this was after Eve and Adam have sinned, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying you should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And here we are in the 21st century. And we have appliances that our forefathers never dreamed of. We have the internet that keeps us communicating around the world whenever it is working. Knowing what is happening on any most remote place of this earth almost instantaneously. And we have all of these creature comforts afforded to us, and still it is by the sweat of our face, by the sweat of our brow, that we still live. We are still human. I'll give you an example. There was a backup generator at the pumping station for the city of Taylor that did not come on to supply water to the city. And come to find out, the reason that it did not come on was that it had not been maintained. And it failed. And anything that we have in this infrastructure that man has created still requires the sweat of our face. It still requires that. And man can, again, just take things for granted. And then when disaster comes and there's failure that takes place, we wonder and wring our hands, what in the world is going to happen? We still have to understand that everything that we have here on this earth, we still have to work for. And that application is true also in connection with our spiritual relationship with the Lord. We must work to maintain that relationship with Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians the second chapter. We understand those things. We should understand those things. And again, it puts us in our place. When things happen such as they did this past week, have you learned that lesson? Have we learned that lesson, just how vulnerable we really are? We're not in control. And we still survive with the sweat of our face. We must always be prepared when we think about surviving by the sweat of our face. And we see that when we look at the application of Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. That's the parable, of course, of the 10 virgins. Five wise, five foolish. Five wise, of course, they were prepared. The five foolish didn't give a second thought about what would take place if their lamps went out. Their lamps did go out, and they were not allowed into the bridegroom. They were not invited in. When we look over to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 through 21, we see that Paul says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal." And this is a seal placed upon those that are children of God. The Lord knows those who are His. And the second part of that seal, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, those that are valuable and useful, but also those of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, that is the worthlessness in our life, the not being prepared to give God the glory in our life. He says if we cleanse ourselves of those things that do not glorify God, we can be vessels for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. And that includes especially the teaching of God's Word. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me ask you, as a child of God, are you able to do that? If someone asks you the question, what must I do to be saved? Can you give them the answer from Scripture? Can you do that? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared as a child of God to put forth every good work that has been given us to perform by God, and He's given us the means to do so, but it's by the sweat of our face. We go in, we study, and we dig it out. We still survive in the sweat of our face. Not only in things of this earth, that which is physical, but also that which is spiritual. But are we working with that preparation? Are we doing that? Have we learned the lesson how preparation is? I will confess, I thought that we had plenty of drinking water. What I thought was is that surely this will be over in a matter of a day or so, but it continued on for many days, and I ran out of water. And I will tell you, my next point will bring this out, I'm grateful for what happened. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But I did not have the preparation. And I understand that when we think about preparation, we all could have been better prepared. Our communities, our cities, and so forth could have been better prepared. But I will tell you, because I know how things are, cities and people will not ever be prepared physically to the full extent because of the cost. On the other hand, are we ready to be prepared spiritually, knowing what the cost is? Knowing what the cost is. Because by the sweat of our face, both spiritually and physically, we can stand before God and be prepared. The third point I want to make is there are good people in this world. I ran out of water. And Beverly just had surgery, and I needed to keep her hydrated. I needed to keep hydrated, but I was more worried about her. And we had heard that they were handing out water at HEB. Well, I went to HEB, and there was no one there. And then Beverly called me and said, there's a warming station, and maybe they have water there. And so I went to it. It was at the old middle school in town. And there was only a policeman, police car outside, and a lady that was sitting in a Jeep outside the front door. And I pulled up, and she was on the phone, and she immediately rolled down the window, and I said, is the warming center open? She said, yes. I said, is there water? She said, my understanding is that there will be water maybe later today. I said, ma'am, I've got to find some water. Do you have any suggestions? I didn't even know who she was. I said, my wife just had surgery, and I'm needing water. I need to find some somewhere. She said, go ahead and park right over there. We're going to find you some water. And we got out, and I asked her her name and what her position was. She gave me her name, and she was the head of grounds and buildings for Taylor ISD. And we went through every room in that school and came into a room where there was 40 or 50 5-gallon jugs of water. And she said, you're getting three of these. And we had a prayer. I prayed, thanking that angel. And that's what I called her at the time. She was an angel in that she afforded to us that which we did not have. There are good people in this world. And not only that, they're good people such as Sister Rachel Stewart. I was also afraid of not being able to cook food because I thought that I had plenty of propane, and I of course don't have a gauge on those silly things. That's one thing that's lacking. I didn't know how much I had, and she got on the phone and she found a man that brought me the equivalent of 5 of those propane tanks. And that need was fulfilled. I had a good sister in taking seriously the need that was there, and it was serious. Not quite as serious as what I thought it was, because the next day power finally came on, but we probably would have been all right, but I didn't know that. And then David Fite, who is a neighbor of Rachel, drove in the ice and snow and came to our house. and got out of the car, and the first thing he said was, "Don't you even think about trying to hand me money." He said, I need to pay forward what has been done for me. And what I'm hopeful is that with both those people, that a door has been opened where maybe I can talk to them about the Lord, because I have to return the empty water bottles, and I'm going to be returning the propane bottles. And so I'm hopeful that I'll have an opportunity to speak with them. But there are good people in this world. We expect that of Christians. And thankfully that was true with Rachel and what she did for us. So thankful for that. We see the scripture in Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I'm not saying that those that are not Christians cannot be good, because when we look over in Matthew the 13th chapter and verse 23, the teaching of the word came to one who was likened unto good ground. If he heard the word and understood it, and then from that rendered obedience and brought forth then for the Lord. We see this good ground is that good and honest heart that receives the word of God. And I'm prayerful that these two individuals, in what they've shown just from the creature standpoint, will have that good and honest heart to hear the truth. I hope that will be the case. And we see men such as Cornelius as described. One that was devout, one that feared God, one that gave alms. He was generous. And he prayed to God always. He was a Gentile. But yet he was a good man. Not good from the standpoint of being in covenant relationship with God. He still needed to know. Still needed to understand. Still needed to obey. He did that. But I make this point for this to be a lesson for us, that we need not be cynical thinking that there is not one good person upon this earth. I know all the things. We all know all the things that are taking place politically. We understand all the upheaval that is out there. But there are still good people in this world. And we must not become cynical and think that that is not the case. It is true. And it was evidenced and it was emphasized greatly to me in what had taken place. Starting with my sister and with those two other people. There are good people in this world. And because of that, we must teach them. Because there are people that have that good and honest heart. We see in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those that are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, not having been taken captive by him to do his will. And it was Paul's attitude also, even with his own countrymen that were continually trying to kill him. I tell you the truth, he says in Romans the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 1. I'm not lying. My conscience also bears witness in the Holy Spirit. I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. And you look at that attitude that he expressed when they were trying to kill him all the time. And yet his concern was there because he recognized there are good people. And then, of course, God's attitude. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we need to recognize that in this life. People are made after the image of God. Not that physical body, but what is in them. And that is a precious soul, a precious spirit that's been given by God. And hopefully you saw something or heard something that took place where you saw the good in people during this past week. And hopefully it has reinforced a lesson in us that, yeah, there was a reason that the Lord sent his son. Because God wants people to be saved. There are people that will come to the truth. Did you learn any of these lessons this week? Did you join with me in learning that we're not in control and we need to be prepared, that we need to work at it by the sweat of our face, both physically and spiritually especially? that there are people that are out there that will hear the truth, but how can they hear it if we do not present it to them? Did you learn these lessons? Or do we just take for granted, well, I sure am glad that happened to the preacher. Maybe he can go ahead and help somebody come to the truth. Well, what about you? What about you? Let me ask you, can we assist you this morning? If you're not a child of God, will you humble yourself realizing you're not in control? Will you work to do the Lord's will, not your own will? Will you recognize that if you will receive God's word in your heart, that you are a good person and you can then produce for the Lord? Would you this day be baptized in remission of your sins? Will you become a child of God and then start putting into practice these lessons that we've learned throughout this week? Maybe you were once a child of God, you were baptized, but you've not been living the way that you should. You're not living for the Lord. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. You have not presented yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord, but you have done exactly opposite to what Paul says in verse 2. You have conformed yourself to the world and you don't look different than anyone else. You need to come back to the Lord. You left him. He was there. He didn't walk away. You walked away from him. But there's a way back. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we will pray with you and for you. And the Lord, the gracious Lord, will forgive you your sins and you can then be in that covenant relationship. Because if anything came out this week, you recognize you're not in control. And if you're not working for the Lord, you're working for Satan. And you recognize that you can be a good person because once you were a child of God, but you left him, you can return and show your goodness once again in connection with your obedience unto God. If there are those that we can help in any way, we're going to ask you then to stand as we sing and come and put your hand in the hand of the brother that is up front and render obedience to the Lord this morning.
Unprepared to meet thy God.
We'll now remember our Lord's death.
Chapter, starting in verse 22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I want to repeat verse 24. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Jesus, our Savior, He died on the cross so that we could be made whole and blameless before our Lord the Father. We need to remember that, not just this moment in time when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, remembering His death. We need to bear that in mind every day of our lives. We need to strive to do our best to live a life that brings honor and glory to His name. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we might be righteous. So we need to live like Christians and be righteous. Please bow with me. Our Lord and Father, we're so very thankful for this beautiful Lord's Day that You've given unto us. Your Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this opportunity that we have to remember Your Son and the sacrifice He made on our behalf that brings us back into the relationship that we need to be in with You. Your Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this bread that to us as Christians represents Your Son's broken body upon that cross. Your Heavenly Father, we hope and pray that You'll be with each and every one of us partaking of it. You'll help us take of it in a matter of will please in Thy sight. Heavenly Father, we hope and pray that You'll be with us through our daily lives. And we hope and pray that You'll help us to live our lives as we should, as Christians, as sons, and daughters of You. In Your Son's blessed name we pray. Amen.
Yesterday, this
will now turn the services over to Brother Daryl Glover as we purpose our giving.
This gathering is intended for this year. That's our responsibility. Take the example that Garen gave this morning about that generator out at the pump station for Taylor. Now that it wasn't maintained. In other words, preparation wasn't made. And that's about the way it is with our giving. God wants us to share. Garen talked about that. God wants us to sacrifice. He wants us to give back what He's blessed us with. But He wants us to be able to be prepared as a congregation to be able to further the gospel and to take care of our needy. That's why we lay by in store. For those reasons. To share, to sacrifice, and to be prepared to help spread the gospel. Take care of the need. And we to do it with a cheerful heart, as we have been blessed. You're the one that has to decide how you've been blessed.